Welcome to the Big Ideas for Small Business podcast. Join us as our host and fellow small business owner, Tim Hayden, discusses topics beneficial to businesses of all industries.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Big Ideas for Small Business. I'm your host, Tim Hayden, and I have a new friend that I want to introduce our listeners to. His name is Mark Rose Ennis. So, Mark, welcome to the podcast.
Oh, it's great to be here, Tim. Thanks.
You're speaking with an accent, Mark.
Yes, I am. Yes.
Hey, so I was introduced to Mark. It's probably been about 4 months ago or so, and we've been on a journey. For our listeners that are leaning in, we've been doing podcasts a long time about small business, and I got introduced to Mark. So I'm ready to make some change. You know, what got us to where we are as a business today is not going to take us to that next level. So I met Mark and learned about him, and I said, you know what? I think he'd be a great conversation for the podcast today. So, Mark, if you will, tell our listeners a little bit about yourself.
Okay. Be glad to, Tim, and thanks for doing this today.
Yeah.
All right. So first name Mark and last name Rose Ennis, or surname, as I would have said it in my native country. So I'm South African born. I'm a fifth generation South African. Moved to the U.S. about 23 years ago. But I have a lifelong career in automotive.
Okay.
And for the first part of my career, I worked for Toyota, South Africa. Pretty large manufacturing concern down there. But I managed to go many times to Toyota, to Japan, and elsewhere in Japan's world. So I got some good global experience, and I always tell anybody who's talking to me about that experience, I say I went to the University of Toyota. So great teaching organization, but as you know, one of those that have led high volume assembly and manufacturing in the world for many decades. Not only that, is I am wired the way that Toyota works as well. It just so happens. Mm. I didn't realize that in the beginning, but I realized that as I kind of went through in the latter years of my time working with them. So when my family and I moved to the United States, I continued to work in the automotive business for a German-based company, but have a facility in South Carolina supporting BMW. That was the first step for them, and then now they're supporting everybody else. But I'm no longer with them, so I've stepped away from the automotive business, and I'm trying my hand at consulting.
Okay.
I'm trying to give back to the industry and give back to companies like Sargent and others who are wanting to make another step or improve their business in certain ways. So I have a wealth of experience top to bottom, working at executive level in the industry, also putting together strategy, but also being hands-on down in the manufacturing side of the business to make sure that things run and that continuous improvement is alive and well, which I strongly believe in, and I feel have good experience in that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's great. Well, the topic of our podcast today is process and continuous improvement. So, to lift the lid open about what's going on here in our business is I was ready to make some change. And right before I started, Mark and I started having a conversation, and actually Gordon Blocker's been on our podcast before. He's a coach I'm working with at Table Group. And he says, Tim, why don't you just press pause, and why don't we have someone from the outside come in and observe us? So Mark has just finished up with a four-week stint of observing. So he's looked at things and seen current state, and then he has given us some recommendations for future state. So, and a lot of that is around process and continuous improvement. So, Mark, my first question for you is tell our audience about your background in process improvement.
Okay. So, I'm going to split this into two parts. The first part is that every business has and should have metrics or KPIs. These could be financial and operations, usually both. And what that does is set the dashboard or the cockpit dashboard for the business to monitor the health of the business in many areas. And as soon as any one of the instruments or the KPIs, if you like, is not showing achievement of a target or an expectation, then there's a need to react to that. So that's what I would call the tactical side of the management of the business. But then if they are running typically steady, and there's capacity for the resources in the company to look at other improvements to move the company to the next level, then the idea then is to leverage that capacity by defining improvement projects. One of the ways that you can take KPIs that I mentioned before, and they are running at a stable level, is to then toughen the target, right? So what you do is you move it up or down depending on the metric, and that then by default is generating a continuous improvement activity. So that's one way to tweak the dial, so to speak, in order to force continuous improvement. But many companies, in my experience, set up separate continuous improvement initiatives. They even set up an infrastructure to manage that. They will even hire continuous improvement coordinators, managers, experts, specialists, and so on. That's fine. They work sometimes. But typically, there's a challenge because they don't have the authority. Yes, they have the skills, but the best is to decide that the culture of the organization is going to adopt process improvement or continuous improvement, they are linked, of course, as a culture. And that way it becomes part of the company's DNA. There's a language that comes with that, there are methodologies that come with that, and then ultimately when projects are concluded, there's a celebration of those concluded projects to say, look what we've done, and lifting it to the next level. Many good aspects flow from that. One of them could be is that when new business is wooed and new customers are coming to look, see, and they see this, they see it's authentic, it's working. This is usually a big checkbox to say we really are interested in doing business with this company. Because if we push them improvement, they already have a foundation ready to move. It's not as if they have to learn this thing. Mm-hmm. So that's obviously one on the business side, on the customer side. But the other one is the sense of achievement, contribution by employees or team members in a company. If they're part of a continuous or process improvement mindset, they can all be celebrated. Everybody can contribute. There's no one individual that cannot make a difference. So to provide that as an environment is super beneficial, in my opinion.
That's good. Yep. So for our listeners, a KPI. So a KPI, I know the definition, but if you want to unpack that, if they don't know what that is.
So key performance indicator is the extended acronym. Some companies will use metrics. Typically, those two are the ones that rise to the surface. But a key performance indicator, by definition, is an indicator of something that you're measuring.
Okay.
All right. So you don't just randomly create them. They have to be very clear, sharp, and specific. What are we trying to measure in the business to give us quick alerts if the business is not running according to the plan? They need to be in view. They need to be understood. They need to have owners. Because somebody's got to ring the bell, right?
Yeah.
And that person may not know how to solve the problem. That's why there's a team involved. So it's super critical, and one has to be careful. I'll just say that too many of these can be overwhelming and then dilute the entire program.
Yeah.
They need to be succinct. They need to be limited. And you can add and subtract if you want to, depending on the need of the business at any time. But some of them will be standard forever, right? So I'll give you an example. If you are shipping to customers as a manufacturing company, on-time delivery, I think everybody knows that. Scrap, what's the level of scrap and waste that you're throwing away that the customer's not paying for? Then you get even the human indicators, right? Absenteeism, attendance, turnover of staff or people working in the factory. There could even be others related to supply chain management, inventory management, which are big cost factors in any business if you're a distributor. So yes, that's what a KPI is.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. And then you mentioned, I just want to, for our listeners, you mentioned about celebrating. I think it's important, and I've learned our staff has taught me the importance of once you achieve something, make sure that you celebrate, because I think that's important. You mentioned that early on as well.
Yeah. So typically if you have a target and it's a flat line over time and you have improved the performance to where that actual performance is meeting that target line, staying with it in a narrow band tolerance, or even doing better than it. If that point is reached, sometimes before that even, saying there's a rising trend that we're about to meet the target, congratulations for all effort. But when you stop there and you're steady, you say, really, we're now sustaining this condition. Mm-hmm. Congratulations. Important to broadcast that, right? Because then everybody that's part of it, not only that, it creates a competitive edge.
Yeah.
Right? For those that were not contributing to that, but are contributing to another KPI's performance, you have this professional tension, if I can call it that, mm-hmm. where others are wanting to also get the recognition and be able to be celebrated. So yeah. it really works well as the fuel for motivation and encouragement.
Yeah, that's good. Hey, Mark, my next question is, leadership plays a crucial part of business strategy, especially in continuous improvement. What is one way you continue to implement this?
Okay, it can be a very long answer, but I'm going to try to keep it nice and brief.
Okay.
Anytime a continuous improvement initiative is embarked upon, leadership has to be there for a couple of reasons: to support, sponsor, endorse it, or even participate in it, because could be a new behavior, but the leader knows how to launch it.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing is to make sure that the leader's always there in an advisory capacity. Because at the end of the day, all leaders can't be involved in everything. So you've got to take your hands off the wheel and let it run.
Mm-hmm.
So the team must always know that you can go back and say, can you come to our next meeting? But it must be the leader endorsing it, encouraging, and allowing a certain level of risk with every continuous improvement initiative. Because sometimes no risk, no gain, no reward.
Yeah.
But you also want to give the sense to the team that you have the freedom to fail,
mm-hmm.
With low risk, of
yeah.
course, right? Allow them to stumble and, scrape along and then ultimately get up and say, look what we've done. So leadership must always be present, but not interfering, right, is one of the things that I have practiced. I've even learned from my mentors mm-hmm. over my career, is that leadership launches a program and steps away and doesn't come back. Well, what was that all about?
Mm-hmm.
Right? So they have to be able to do that to make sure that it's embedded in the culture.
Yeah, that's good. You talked about failing. One thing, I think we want to fail forward. To your point, hey, it's a low risk, whatever we're going to do, give the team the authority and responsibility to do it, but also fail forward. Say, what did you learn from that? To where, make sure, hey, that didn't happen again. So does that
yep.
make sense?
Exactly. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's good. Hey, you touched on this briefly earlier. How do key performance indicators play a role in continuous improvement?
Yeah. So without measuring something and even having a notional target, where you headed, it's like flying a plane, Tim. You would know, best with that, is you have to have a bearing,
mm-hmm.
right? You have to be able to set a course. And yes, sometimes you just don't take a straight line from A to B.
Mm-hmm.
You might have to meander, wander off the trail a bit, but always you're coming back to the main trail. And you have to set expectations.
Mm-hmm.
We're measuring this. We feel that we would like to reach that target. And then we're going to grab the data and present the tactical journey in this way against our expectation, which is always a target.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things I like to always do is simplify everything,
mm.
right, and not overcomplicate something.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm an engineer by profession, so mm-hmm. I'm not going to make excuses for that. But the point I want to make is it's a simple XY chart. There's a Y-axis, there's an X-axis, there's a target, and then there's the tracking of how things are running towards that target.
Mm-hmm.
It's as simple as that.
Okay.
Right.
And one thing that, and we've talked about this just with your observations here, is whenever you are looking at a KPI, it could be on-time delivery, you mentioned earlier, a 4 or 8 week trend that you've got a simple picture, a visual, and how are you going to communicate that, that's good to see those trends. I mean, you any comments about that?
Yeah, I'm a very visual person by nature, so mm-hmm. it comes naturally to me. But nowadays, modern world, fast-paced, and everybody's media-oriented,
mm-hmm.
all right? And guess what? When you're looking at your phone, your tablet, or whatever device you carry with you, it's all about images, mm-hmm. right? Reading long text, people get bored. Mm-hmm. So usually you want to see images or something that's going to excite you, right? And this is what visual management does in a process or continuous improvement environment. You visualize the issue today, the future where you want to be, and then let everybody buy into that. Mm-hmm. It's more effective that way. And better still, nowadays, leverage those electronic devices we're carrying around. Mm-hmm. You can be anywhere and get an update on your improvement. If you don't want sleep, you can do that. But those KPIs, without them, you're flying blind.
Yeah, no, that's good. Yeah, and I agree. And I think to sum up what you said, I mean, to me, what gets measured gets repeated and gets improved. But if you don't measure something, you don't know. You got to have a starting point. Yeah. So I think those are very critical.
Exactly. So if you, like I said earlier in the meeting today, actually, if you can't manage it, if you can't measure it, you can't manage it.
That's exactly right. Yeah, right. That's even better. Yeah, if you can't measure it, you can't manage it. So. Yeah. Hey, so this could be a wide open question, but I think we'll keep it in the process and continuous improvement context. What inspires you in your career?
Good question. I, by nature, get bored quickly. Hmm. All right, so it works against me, and it can work for me. Mm-hmm. But on the work for me piece is in a work environment. If I am surrounded by people who are looking at things critically all the time, and not striving for perfection, but maybe striving for excellence, mm-hmm. where they're saying, you know, the way it is right now, we've done it for so long this way. I think there's a better way, or a more effective, or a more efficient way. Let's test that. Mm-hmm. Let's challenge the status quo. The ability to move off the status quo and take it to the next level. You never know until you try it, mm-hmm. right? So that's the continuous improvement mindset, to be surrounded by that kind of critical mass mm-hmm. is exciting for me. And then ultimately, if you do decide to make a change and you look back and you say, look what we did, all right, here are the indicators of a positive impact. And it could be from motivation as far as people are concerned, but it could be the hard measurables of the business, bottom line on the P&L. Mm-hmm. Could be an ultimate beneficiary as well along the way. So I want to see change, but for the right reason and in the right direction.
Yeah, that's really good. Hey, talk to or share with our listeners and all this tied together with process and process improvement, continuous improvement, your continuous improvement approach.
Okay. Simplified, it's what the Lean Enterprise Institute in America has said for a long time is one of their mantras. It's learning to see. Mm. So wherever you work, you are seeing stuff every day. You're used to it, or it's bugging you, or there's a better way to do it, but are you actually saying something about it? And to whom are you saying it?
Yeah.
Right, but boiling it down is, it's a simple practice. I'm looking at an activity. It can be in the front office, it can be out in the manufacturing floor. But what waste is in front of me? Mm. The waste of walking, the waste of waiting. Am I performing a movement that is not ergonomically comfortable for me? So at the end of the day, that will lead to consequences. But the waste is typically stuff that you are doing or the company is doing that the customer is not paying for. Mm. It's not included in the selling price that has been negotiated. So what can I do to make it faster, make it safer, make it less costly, all right? And so there are many opportunities here, but it's simply looking for waste, and then you define the waste. There are many ways to define it. You can call them what you will. There are some techniques that I use, mm-hmm. Which I found very simple in my time that I learned with Toyota, and say, okay, you've identified the waste now. So is there something you can do about it or I can do about it? Maybe not, but I'm going to get somebody who I think can do something about it. Mm-hmm. And then you embark on the journey of finding a way to eliminate or reduce that waste, which will benefit everybody in that area particularly. Okay. So that's the general basic approach.
Yeah, and I like you talked about learning to see. I think that's important. I wrote that down when you were talking about it. I think it is important. We've got to learn to see. Yeah. Sometimes if you're walking through, if you're manufacturing like we are, you just get blind to that stuff. Yeah. And you got to learn to see. I think that's good.
I'll give you another example of that, is that I encourage everybody, when you're walking out in the factory, what happens these days? You could be looking at your phone. You're between meetings. What messages? Mm-hmm. All right. What emails? That kind of stuff. Try to ignore that that enticing tendency. Mm-hmm. Instead, keep the phone in the pocket. Look up. Mm-hmm. Look ahead of you. Look left and right. Sometimes even look up at the ceiling. And you guarantee will see stuff that's not to standard or is not quite to an expectation.
Yeah, that's
good. And then you have an obligation, if it's your business or you're a management member or whoever, to say, hey, I saw something. I'm going to stop, take a moment, and maybe do something about that.
Yeah, that's good. Hey, so if our listeners today and have been listening and they're saying, hey, I like what I'm hearing about continuous improvement process, but they've never done it. What are some next steps you think that they should take? Maybe some takeaways as we finish up our podcast today, Mark.
Okay. I'm going to go to two ends of the spectrum. One of them is, if you are a business leader or a manager in your enterprise, is looking at the financials. Where in the financials do you know that you are performing wasteful practice, which is costing money? Right? There's no return on that.
Mm-hmm.
Take one of those, not the most difficult one, and pick one and say, let's go there and investigate that a little bit further and see if we can begin dismantling that. Break it down and then start removing some of that additional wasteful practice / cost.
Mm.
That's on the business end.
Mm-hmm.
But down in at the coal face where the money's really made, these are people who are in the company transforming material ultimately to ship to customers. Go there, introduce yourself if you don't know them, and say, hey, is there anything that you're doing here today that you feel is wasting your time or is just inefficient or, you know, there's a better way?
Mm-hmm.
And if you have an idea, tell me. And then use that and run with it if you can and make an example of that.
That's good.
What you're going to do is begin to transform the mindset and tease out all those individuals who are wanting to make something better or improve something but have never been given the conduit or the opportunity to do that. So you approach it from the two ends and move to the middle, if I can say it that way.
Yeah.
Some of these things are really easy kills,
yeah,
I will say. Easy wins,
yeah.
And then celebrate.
Yeah.
Right.
That's good. And what I heard you say there is that give your team permission. You know, go ask the questions, hey, is there waste or things? Give permission that it's okay to do that.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's important. So, thank you for being a guest. We're hopefully some of our listeners learn a little more about process and continuous improvement. I know we're on that journey as well.
Great.
So it was great having you on today.
Well, it's been my pleasure. Thanks for inviting me.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right.
And hey, for our listeners, everyone, take care. Look forward to having another podcast next month, and God bless.
If you would like to continue the journey with us, please subscribe and leave us a review to let us know how we're doing. If there are any specific topics you would like to hear, be sure to put that in the comments as well. We will be launching a new podcast on the first Wednesday of every month. If you know others that will get benefit from listening to this podcast, please share it with them, and we'll be seeing you guys next month.